MMAnalysis.com Live, episode 140. First off, I want to give a shout out to our awesome sponsors at Clench Custom Mouthguards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, Central Oregon Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Hype Bite Store, Never Tap, Brawl Base, and 24 in LV.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
You critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama and she burnt your monkey ass.
Hey, Lafagi, how's it going?
Good, brother. Good, man. Kind of doing this show with a heavy heart tonight, man, without my little homie Skip Dog.
Yeah, but you've got a special co-host tonight. Why don't you bring him in here?
Well, some of you know him from the Rogue Show. He's loudmouth, he's opinionated, and he's not afraid to get in the cage. He's our family over at MMA Topics. The one, the only, Utter Butter sponsor, Chris Gregory.
Yeah. Hey, you know, they brought the Chihuahua in because the big dog Skippy is out. But you know what I mean? I'm here, and I'm ready to do the show with you guys.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you stepping up and helping the team out. I know you probably were, like, wanting to go hang out with your kids and enjoy the hot weather back there, but sometimes duty calls.
It's honestly, it's been raining for, I don't know, like 5 days straight, bro. There's a little sunshine right now, but, I mean, it's been raining off and on for 5 days. It's ridiculous.
Hey, that's better than the fucking tornadoes, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, dude, the tornadoes are scary because I don't have a basement, you know? So, like, I got kids. So, you know, I used to back in the day just go outside and be like, damn, I wonder where it's at. Now I got to, like, get the kids, put them under the stairs, put the mattress over, you know, it's like a sauna. It's like a sauna in there by the time you get out because you got kids trying to move around. And you're like, dude, this is the way to cut weight right here.
Damn, that sounds crazy.
Dude, it's scary. It's scary, man, because, like, I'm from California, so, like, earthquakes, you have no idea they're coming. You know what I mean? It just happens. Here, you know, you hear the sirens and it gets quiet and, I don't know, man. It gets, like, weird outside, you know? You have to live in the Midwest or, you know, somewhere that has tornadoes in order to understand how, like, the feeling of it.
Well, see, I lived out – that's like, my beef, man. I lived out in Tulsa for 9 years, man, and not one damn time. Like, you know, they put that damn tornado watch and tornado warning on your television – so I'd always go down to get a 30-pack of beer, man. Me and my roommate, we were both from the West Coast. We didn't know what was going on. We'd always go pick up a 30-pack and then sit out on the porch and wait for the tornado to come so we could see one. But, damn, dude, 9 years, man, I never saw a tornado.
Oh, yeah, I've seen one up close and personal, man. So I'm not really into that. I think it was May 5th tornado. We were driving. We were driving, and it just, like, I mean, we were getting held on and everything. And, I mean, it just... like, it went right in front of us. I don't know. It was a little ways in front of us, but it was far enough to where I was like, okay, let's stop and figure out which direction this is going in before we, you know, we actually decide which direction we're going in. And let's go the complete opposite way. You know, I got homies that are like, let's go chase the storm. I'm like, no, dude, I'm good. Let me go find the basement.
Yeah, no. See, like, the closest I ever got that I could say I got to a tornado, I never saw the tornado this day. But I was out fishing on Fort Gibson Lake one day, man, and we were slaying sand bass and stripers. Like, we were just lighting them up. I mean, the barometer was going crazy. The fish were active. And, like, out in the distance, like, you could see these hella dark clouds. Like, I mean, when I say dark, like, it was, like, night dark, like, midnight dark. Like, there was no light coming through these clouds. And you could see them. And my buddy's like, should we go somewhere? And I'm like, I was like, no, man, the fish are biting right now. It's like, let's keep going, man, keep fishing. And it couldn't have been, like, 5 minutes later, dude. Those clouds rolled in on top of us, and you watched, like, across the lake, dude, like, baseball-sized hail, like, coming across. Just, like, it looked like the water was just boiling, dude, like, boom, 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 boom. And so, like, all of a sudden, man, we made a mad dash for my truck. and then it came like right across the top of us. I couldn't even move my truck because my dumbass left the keys to my truck in the cooler where I had all the beer at. And so we were just screwed, man. I was like sitting out in the middle of this field, like in my truck, just got pounded by hail, dude. It was wicked.
Rule number one, when you have beer and there's a tornado, take it with you. Keep it by your side.
Yeah,
you never know
true.
How much beer you're going to drink, you know what I mean? You might have to move some crazy shit in order to get out afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, man. That is the truth.
So,
now, despite the tornadoes, though, huh?
Hey, we were just talking about the tornadoes. You know, I heard James Head has given his whole fight purse to the tornado victims. You hear about that?
Yeah, man, that's awesome, dude. Hopefully people will hopefully he's got somewhere where people can make donations to help that out.
Yeah, man, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, when you got a job and then you fight too, you know, I guess you're able to do stuff like that, and I think it's amazing, man. I think it's cool. Fighters that step up like that, man, I respect that. Even though he's fighting my homie Bobby Volkner now, you know. I think Bobby Volkner is, you know, I thought he beat Patrick Cote's last fight. But anyway, let's get into some local MMA.
Well, hey, hold on. While we're talking on non-local stuff, man, what do you think about Rampage signing with Bellator?
Well, I mean, Chet Congo followed also. So, yeah, I think it's good. Look, we all know that he was on, I'm not going to say the tail end of his career, because I still feel like Rampage is a talented fighter. He just kind of lost the love for it, you know? And the same thing for like guys like Mayhem, UFC kind of, you know, them guys like that, they're outspoken and say what they want. They're not for the UFC. Bellator, yeah, I mean, look, now he's going to go make his money and he's going to get to wrestle in TNA. Now, look, this guy could be the next Hulk Hogan, let's be honest.
Don't try to bullshit me on that.
I'm putting it out there. Look, it's TNA. Obviously, you're not going to be the next Hulk Hogan, but I think it's great for his career. It's great for money as far as, you know, living, because, you know, we all know Rampage was a great paid fighter. I mean, he was probably one of the, you know, the fighters that actually lived pretty well. I don't know, just to see him go to Bellator, I mean, yeah, that's a great thing for him. But, you know, for guys that are new to the sport, I don't think it's a great thing to go sign a Bellator, because then you can't get out to go to the USC. So guys like Chet Congo, Renato, Babalu Sobral, you know, all those guys, I think that Bellator is perfect for them. I think it's perfect for Rampage, especially since he's going to fight a heavyweight, he said.
Oh, yeah, no. He's going to fight a heavyweight. Because I was actually I thought that would be a good fight that Bellator could put together with King Mo and Rampage.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great fight. What sucks about it is they weren't talking. They're not talking as much trash as they were before, because they're both sponsored by MMA Elite, and, you know, the beef was squashed. And so it's not really as much hype as it was before. I think it'd be a great fight, but I don't think Bellator would want either one of those guys to lose, you know what I'm saying, like right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, no, I think what you would do is let Mo go through this upcoming tournament that they modified to a four-man forum. So, and then if he can win that and then win the title, then you send Rampage through the next one. Then you can build up a super fight like maybe two seasons from now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Rampage has done a lot in his career, and in Bellator, he'll probably do pretty good even at heavyweight. Whether he does it at heavyweight or light heavyweight, I prefer him to do it at light heavyweight. But, you know, let him be comfortable. What he wants to fight at, you know? So,
no, yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I don't understand why he's going to go at heavyweight. He must not want to cut weight, which means that who's the current heavyweight champ there now? And that's how sad that is. I can't even think of who the Bellator heavyweight champion is.
That is sad that we don't know who it is. Is it man? You know, that's really bad. We're supposed to be MMA people. We don't even know.
Shows you, like, that's how, like, disenchanted I am with Bellator right now. Like, the way they're treating Eddie Alvarez and then what they got going on with Paul Daly, I just think it's ridiculous, man. Like, let Paul Daly fight so he can pay his attorney to deal with this visa shit so he can come back and fight at Bellator. But they're like, oh no, you can't take this fight, and you can't take that fight, and you can't take this fight. And in the meantime, he's coming out of his own pocket paying for his attorney to deal with his fucking visa issues so that he can fight for Bellator, but they're not really wanting to help him out any.
Let me just say that this is the story that
Paul Daly's painting. So, I mean, you know, every story has two sides, and the truth is somewhere found in the middle. But, I mean, I ain't hearing Bellator come back and say he's not telling the truth. So, and that came out, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, we love the fights in Bellator. And I just, the stuff behind the scenes is just, it's coming out little by little. And I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just one of those things, man, where, I don't know. Who is the heavyweight champ? Does anyone know? Is it Alexander Volkov? Is that who it is?
No, it was, maybe they haven't announced one since Conrad retired. Because Cole Conrad was the heavyweight champ, then he retired. So maybe they haven't had a new one yet. It's a good possibility. Because Eric Prindle, who is Eric Prindle going to fight? Now we got to figure this out.
Well, I know Volkov fought Richard Hell in a 5-round title fight. So, I guess
Look at Richard Hale. We'll look at Richard Hale, and then I'll pull up Andrew Volkov. No, that was in the tournament final. So then let's see who Volkov's fighting in the. Oh, they don't have anybody listed for him. Awesome. Now, I don't think – maybe the tournament final made him the champ, but it doesn't say title fight. I don't know. Maybe they don't have a title fight right now because Conrad relinquished. So they're trying to – maybe – what do you think the odds of them giving Rampage an immediate title shot are?
Is that what they say?
No, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, that could be one of the things.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know, though, because that messes up the whole format of Bellator. The whole tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, they may be just trying to.
Yeah, you can't just give a guy a title shot. That's just, I don't know, you know, that they can't do that. They're already doing it with the four-man tournament, you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I wasn't really down with that.
I didn't really like
that change.
Shorter, but I don't know.
It just really seems kind of shady, bro, that, like, they're doing it first at the light heavyweight division where Mo's at, and it's kind of like, are they trying to, like, fast-track him into a title shot or what, you know?
True. And then they have the heavyweight. The heavyweight one doesn't even have Ryan Martinez in it, man, and I think that dude should definitely be in it.
Oh, yeah, dude. He definitely should. Yeah, dude, I know who that guy is. He's fucking bad.
That dude is bad, man. You know, training with Jeff Mayweather, you know, King Mo and Roy Nelson. That dude's bad, man. It's a bad man, man. I noticed I did that.
Bad man. So who was the baddest man at Brawl Inc.?
Oh man, you know, I'm gonna have to go with TJ Tombstone Jones. Grandpa ended up getting in a car accident on the way to the fight. So he ended up taking on Sean Bells, and you know, TJ, you know, he talks a lot of trash, you know what I'm saying? And his striking was crisp. He has a pro fight this weekend, you know, he won an amateur title, and I think that's four titles for him. And now he's going to go pro this week in a boxing match. You know, he called out a pro MMA fighter, too, after the fight. I mean, you know, the kid was talented. Also, Brian Hill. He actually beat one of the guys that I really wanted to win with William Levine and with a came out. And I'm talking 5 seconds into the fight, clipped him with the right hand, and then just got on him and choked him all the way out. And William went out. William's tough, though. He'll be back. You know, 4-1. First loss, no biggie. Dude, I'm talking the whole night. Good fights for what it is. Brawl Inc. is all about the lower level guys getting a shot to make their records better. You know, you had 2-12, George the Animal Steel. He talked on a dude, Lance Lee, that was like 8-7 or something like that, 7-8. and he got his third win. You know what I'm saying? And that's what brawling is all about.
Okay, is that the guy that, like, looked like the dude from Back to the Future? Like, all crazy-eyed and fucking had, like, the long hair, but he was bald on top?
Just
looks like
crazy,
the animal,
bro.
He looks like the animal off the Muppets. Come on, he looks like the animal off the Muppets.
Yeah, no, that'd be a great, that's a great analogy. See, my only problem with him using George the Animal Steel is that there was a pro wrestler named George the Animal Steel. So, I mean, you know, I don't really like it when a dude with a similar name kind of hijacks somebody else's nickname. It's kind of like a pet peeve of mine. I'd like to see him maybe go with, like, maybe, you know, do something else. But, I mean, dude, I saw the picture of that guy, and I was like, that dude looks crazy. Like, I wouldn't want to be looking across the cage and see that dude.
No, he's really a tough guy. You know, he fights whoever they put in front of him. And that's how he got, you know, a record like he does. You know, he has a hard luck record. And it was nice to see him get a win. You know, I mean, the whole crowd, he's not even from Branson, and the whole crowd is rooting on, you know, just because, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I kind of love crawling because of that. You know, I mean, kind of gives the guys who, you know, would probably fight in a bar, you know, I mean, but they actually train. Some of the guys train. You know, the guys that you know, don't do this full time. And I know a lot of people will hate on that, but I kind of love what they're doing. Because, you know, once a fighter gets to where, you know, they're better than everyone involved, they move on to a bigger organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's perfect. I mean, it's perfect.
So, hey, now your old arch enemy, Doug Daney, had a fight. It looks like he didn't really lose due to his opponent, but maybe a freak accident in the cage. Am I right on that?
Well, I mean, he was getting punched a little bit. Let me clear the air. He was getting punched a little bit, but Doug's known to have bad ankles, man. Like, he takes his ankles up and everything. So he was backpedaling because Trevor was coming forward. Trevor was a different opponent. Doug, if he would have fought the original dude he was supposed to fight, he would have slaughtered that dude, and I will say that. But he ended up stepping up for the heavyweight contendership because Doug's a nut. He'll take any fight that a promoter asks him to take, and he did it. And he was backpedaling anyway, and his ankle rolled. I've seen it roll. A lot of people say, oh, it didn't roll, but I've seen it roll, and I mean, it was huge afterwards. You know, you could tell when somebody's hurt, you know what I mean? He literally went to the ground and freaking screamed. I mean,
this is a guy that, and for you to take Doug's side, this is a guy that you guys have previously had beef. You've been in the cage with each other. You fought. You know, Doug tapped you out. So, I mean, it's not like you're really, like, jumping at the bit to, like, defend the guy, but you're just speaking the truth. I mean, that's what people got to understand, you know. Just, like, I mean, don't see what you want to see. You see what actually happened, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I mean, it was a fight. Look, a lot of the guys I train with, we talk shit. You know what I mean? It's just kind of what we do. We do it in fun. But you know what? When it's all said and done, we're going to help the other guy up after the fight. You know, and we're going to respect him because it's all about respect. And I mean, yeah, we like to pump shit up, but that's just what we're doing. We know how to bring exposure to our guys. And that's what you'll see in the coming months with the Scrap Boys, man, you know. Now we got a gym, you know, June 20th, there's a gym coming, and I'm stoked about it, man. You know, they're going to have their own gym and everything. So, anyway.
Now, what did you think was your fight of the night?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Jamie Bacon versus Dustin Stewart. It was a quick fight. Now, it was a quick fight. It could have gone submission of the night or whatever, but I thought it was fight of the night because Dustin Stewart, this kid, he has a hard luck record too. He just come across the cage and he just started swinging. You know, he was just like, let's go. Let's do this right now. Came across, back Bacon up into the cage. Jamie Fatback Bacon. Backed him up against the cage and, I mean, was just going, swinging, right? Well, Chris McDaniel, that's one of the coaches at BSC. He said, just weather the storm, now swing now, right hand. And I mean, right when he said right hand, Bacon did it. Boom, connected. And I'm talking, I mean, he went down. Dustin went down. And he backed up a little bit, went down, and Bacon stayed on him and got a rear naked choke, man. It was, I mean, it was quick, but it was a good, you know, like a little scrap. I don't know, man. I thought it was great that he listened to the corner the way he did.
Did anything make it out of the first round at Brawl City?
I don't think any fights made it to a decision other than maybe a grappling match, I think. But no, they were all finishes. I think all fights were finished. Let me go check. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were all finished.
Dude, see, that's in a stark contrast to the fight card I was at. Absolute chaos up in Puyallup, Washington. Lots of decisions, man. 14 fights on the card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 decisions. So I guess, you know, there was more finishes than not finishes, but a lot of second, third rounders. So, you know, it was a long night. But I thought it was a great venue. I hadn't been to an Absolute Chaos event yet. We were able to successfully stream the show for people to watch. And I'm in the process. If I wouldn't have passed out last night when I got home from work, the videos would already be up. But I'm in the process of cutting the video down and posting all the fights for Absolute Chaos so that people can go back, watch their fight in particular without having to watch the whole show. The craziest fight I saw that whole night, Chris, it was just wacky, dude. It was the first fight of the night was a kickboxing match. Now, check this out. You know, there's been a real theme in 2013 at the UFC level where there's been a lot of spinning wheel kicks and spinning heel kicks and spinning this and spinning that, and Chael's throwing a lot of spinning shit and everybody. But this fight right here, man, Josh Rose and Garrett Nash, these two guys threw more spinning shit than every fight I've watched all year combined.
Hell yeah. Were they connecting?
No, it wasn't hell yeah, bro. It wasn't hell yeah because it was just horrible technique, dude. Like, I mean, these guys weren't even throwing straight punches. They were, like, all just trying to throw spinning back fist, spinning heel kick. You know, like, they were trying to do Dennis Seaver impersonations with, like, spinning kicks to the body. It didn't matter. Like, that's all they were trying to do. Like, they thought they were playing UFC on the Xbox or something.
Oh, that's funny because when I thought you said they were throwing spinning shit, I was like, oh hell yeah, you know, they were going at it, you know. But then you're like no, it wasn't even like that. So, you know, I was like excited for a second.
I'd have been hella excited too if like one of these guys knew what the hell they were doing. But me and Jeff just kept looking at each other like, what the fuck? Worry about throwing a punch, hit him with a teeth kick, do something different. You're like totally telegraphing your spinning kick.
Do you remember anything that the crowd was saying during that fight? Anything dumb that they were saying?
No, I wish, bro, because I think the crowd just liked it because they're like, oh, shit, spinning shit.
Oh, he's throwing spinning shit now. Oh, he's throwing spinning shit.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying, dude. I was like, oh, throwing spinning shit. Oh, we're throwing spinning shit. But, I mean, dude, there was some good fights on the card, dude. My favorite, what I determined was, for me, the fight of the night was a kickboxing match between Associate Tooch and Eric Ortiz. Tooch won a unanimous decision. But, dude, these two guys, man, they stood in the pocket. They were exchanging body kicks, punches, teeth kicks. Like, there was no spinning shit in this fight. But these guys, man, they had good technique. They had great cardio. The fight was 9 minutes, and it was 9 minutes of action, dude. Like, I know for a fact, and I didn't even talk to these two guys on Sunday, but if I would have talked to them, they were both feeling the pain of being in a fight Saturday night. Like, I saw Sochi at the after party, and he was walking around still pretty good, but he had a few drinks in him too. So I'm sure that, you know, when he woke up Sunday, he was like, damn.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny, man. Dude, I mean, you know how it is. Like, I don't think people understand that we go to fights all the time. They don't understand how it is on Sunday and Monday morning. They don't understand the MMA adrenaline dump that we have.
Oh, man. There's days I don't understand it. I'm like, fuck. Like, there's nights where I just want to come home and, like, curl up in a ball and, like, pass out. But if I don't have radio, I know, like, oh, man, I'm like, this is one of, like, the four nights of the week I can hit the gym. And then hopefully I make it home and I can get some stuff done, like to prepare, either prepare for the upcoming weekend or to finish recapping the previous weekend. Like this whole passing out crap last night really threw my week off because I should have had Absolute Chaos videos up already. But unfortunately, my body was like, you're not doing anything else. Like, it's time to shut down. You know,
yeah,
I mean, I train a couple days a week at Northwest Martial Arts, and then I lift, like, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, depending on my schedule. So, I mean, you know, and you know, I mean, we can't be lackadaisical. I mean, you're in there, you were trying to train for a fight before you dislocated your shoulder.
Yeah,
I told you to always tap early on the Kimura, bro. Always tap early. When you're drilling the Kimura, tap early, dude.
You know what it was? Oh, yeah, dude. I tap when it starts to hurt even a little bit. Hey, I'm good. Like, I know it's deep. I'm good, guys.
Yeah.
No, but for real, what it was, me and D'Allen were grappling, and, like, I was just so fatigued because it hadn't really, like, went hard like that because, you know, those guys are the best guys to train with. And, dude, he kind of just threw me down, and I fell, like, right on my shoulder. And it hurt, you know, and, like, I mean, I could move it and everything. And, I mean, we're talking, I went to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, it's dislocated. I'm like, right now? Like, it's dislocated right now. It just really hurts, you know? And he's like, yep, ready? 1, 2, 3. Boom! And, I mean, popped it right back in. You know how I am. You know, I talk so much shit. I'll take a picture of my doctor bill. I took a picture of the doctor thing. I'm like, put it up on Facebook just to let people know. I ain't faking shit. This shit is real. Let me tell you, I used to doctor shit in high school, though, on doctor's notes. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all did that, man. I used to, like, my mom always used to leave for work, like, before I would have to leave for school. And I'd be like, oh, man, I'm running late today. I'd be like, can you write me a note? And she'd be like, write me this little, like, vague note that says, like, please excuse Rob's tardiness this morning. And then I would just go back to sleep and roll into school, like, right before noon so that, like, the note would still be active for the morning. And then when you had the excused note, like, they didn't call home. So it was perfect, you know? Like, I don't know about your high school. My high school, if you didn't have an excused absence, they were calling your house at night, trying to rat you out to your parents. Some bullshit.
Oh, yeah, we used to have, like, a truant officer that used to, like, come to your house if you, like, missed more than 3 days. Like, dude, you're knocking on my door, homie. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, like, you're like, I'm hiding.
Yeah, don't open the door, man. Come on, I gotta spray some air freshener first.
Oh, exactly, dude.
When I was in high school, I lived by myself, bro. I was probably the only kid in high school that actually had his own place.
Oh, that's sweet, though.
Oh, yeah, dude, we used to hang out in the morning, little smoky before school back in the day, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the normal stuff, dude. Typical action.
Typical actions of a high school, you know. High school graduate.
Dude.
I was a high school graduate.
I went to my graduation hot. I went to high school graduation hot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how you have to go do BJJ.
Man, I wish, dude. I'm not that far along yet. I'm not ready to go baked yet. Plus, it's like I always train right in the middle of my work day. So that would be kind of interesting to have to go back to work because you know my day job they're not down with the sickness.
Yeah, they're not cool then.
No.
So you
they're
go,
not
you
they're
go
not that happening.
Out. You go back to work all PO'd out, huh?
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I have to. Well, I mean, I'm smart enough to carry deodorant with me, and then I always have some cologne. But I wish that my gym did have a shower, though. Like, that would be the I mean, it's so, like, I feel so nasty, like, having to go around all day. I just rolled around with these clowns. We're all sweating all over each other. I got some other assholes sweat all up on my shit. And, you know, it's just wicked hard, bro.
Cool. Cool.
Well, hey, man, I'm sure the people like listening to me and you talk a lot of crap and have some fun, but let's focus on our next guest, who I got to have the privilege of being at 2 big events in her recent past. Let's bring on Amy Cadwell. Amy, are you with us?
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, man, we're doing really good, really good. For everybody at home, this is undefeated pro women's MMA master, Amy Cadwell. Amy, do you want to tell everybody where you train at and stuff?
I'm training out of White Buffalo Warriors with Will Hammond, Cascade CrossFit in Issaquah, and Elite BJJ in Redmond.
And then you also take care of people in the daytime, right?
I do, yeah. Also, I work full-time. I'm a nurse. Sometimes I work on the floor, and sometimes I'm a nurse manager, Park Ridge Care Center in Seattle. So I'm a busy lady these days, but life is great.
Now, let's just jump back to April 28th. The look on your face was really priceless. What was going through your mind in front of 2,500 people when your boyfriend took an advanced step and became your fiance?
Yeah, that was nuts. well, I was when we were like at the event, I was so nervous for him. I was nervous for him. I'd never watched him fight before, except for just boxing. I've never watched him fight before, and so I was nervous just watching him and wanted him to do well. I was so relieved when he won the fight that, I don't know, I was just kind of the whole proposal thing was an extra shock. I was so happy, like elated. It was like the best night of my life, I think. So it was pretty cool.
I know. It was so funny because, like, it looks like it took you a second. Like, I was sitting there filming it because I think Marine gave me the heads up on it, like, a little bit before Dex's fight.
I was like, oh, shit, really?
And then I'm like, I can't say anything. Like, I'm sitting on my computer, and I'm like, oh, wait, I better not tell anybody this shit's about to go down. And then I'm thinking, and I'm like, well, what if he loses? Is he still going to propose? But he pulled out the victory that night.
Yep. Very good.
Did he say he was going to do it, win or lose?
He said that if he didn't win, that he was still going to do it. I don't know the details on it, but we'd have to ask him. But I think he was still going to do it. I don't know if he was still going to do it on stage or if it was going to be backstage, but he was still going to do it.
I don't know. I think I would wait around for next year.
You know, he was supposed to fight on the previous Cage Sport, and his opponent... something happened on the day that he couldn't fight, and so he had to put it off. He had to put it off for a couple of months. So he's like, I'm not going to wait any longer, you know.
Man, that was crazy. But it looked like it really did take like a second for you to sink in, and then like once it sank in, you were like, yes.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, I couldn't even say anything.
But now, let's jump ahead. 4 weeks ago now, you had a debut against a lady you're very familiar with. You and Cheryl have spent some quality time in the cage together.
We have. We've had some words together now.
you two are like the female version of the Pacific Northwest, Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti. I mean... You and Cheryl's first fight was just crazy, and I think that earned both of you a lot of fans that night. And then this night at the Point Casino, your debut, you had a great camp from what I hear. You came in and you actually, I'm going to be really quite honest, you displayed such a different skill set than what I was used to seeing. Your grappling was awesome that night.
Thank you. Yeah, I really credit Will Hammond and Clint Radovich because they really, I mean, we worked a lot on just like my wrestling and my takedowns and learning how to be heavy on the top and stay in a dominating position and, you know, just work your ground and pound. You know, a lot of, like in the past, I got, you know, a little bit, I feel like I got a little too caught up trying to go for a submission, and then you get caught up, you're not holding your position well, you don't have a good base, and that's when you get swept. And I remember when I fought Cheryl the first time, I finally got on top and I had her mounted. She swept me so easy. So that's what I worked on this whole camp, was learning how to be heavy on top. So it ended up being the right game plan, I think.
Oh, it was a great game plan. The thing that I liked, and I was like, I talk to Amy all the time. Like, I saw you that afternoon. We were both paying the park so we could hop on the ferry. And then let me tell you about that. So I just saw you, right? You're paying the park on the ferry. And then, like, I'm, like, trying to figure out how to operate that thing and use my debit card. And I hit the wrong button, and then it was only going to let me park for, like, 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, you're kidding.
So then I, like, go back to, like, put my card back in, and it's like, oh, you've already used your card one time. You can't use it again. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So, like, I look at my wallet. I'm like, oh, good, I got $20. So then I was like, I'll just pay for, like, the 10-hour parking. And so I put my money in, and, like, I got Jeff from Quench on the phone. He's like, dude, you need to hurry up, man. We're pulling onto the boat right now. And I'm like, oh,
oh
shit.
No.
So, like, I just, like, grab the parking slip, like, sprint to my car, put it on the dash, shut the door, lock my car, and I hop out. Like, I'm sprinting over to the street to where, like, they're driving, like, up on the little security check guy, and I, like, Dukes the Hazard into Jeff's Jeep. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shit, where's my change? So I left my change in the parking machine and paid for the next guy to park.
Oh, there's your good deed for the day. That's what we had to do, the same thing. We were paying for the parking, and then we had to book it to get onto our friend's car because we were taking one car over the ferry because it's so expensive. And so then we realized that they had already paid. And so then the ferry people pulled us over to the side, and we're like, you know, because they saw us jump in. And then we're like, oh, we just cheated them. So we had to stop and pay them extra money. But we made it on, so it's all good.
Yeah, but, I mean, I see you a lot. I saw you the night at Cave Sport, and, you know, I'm always like, man, Amy's so nice. But that night, like, there was a side of you that I don't think many people had seen, and a lot of people at that fight card had seen you fight a lot. But there was a viciousness in you when you were unleashing elbows on Cheryl when you had her mounted that I was just like, whoa. I was like, man, I hope Dex doesn't talk back too often, because that doesn't look like a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I kind of went into it. To be honest, I had a really rough training camp. It was hard. Like, you know, I had a new job, and everything was different. And I, you know, I was coming off some losses and then going pro, and that was kind of hard for me to sort out mentally. You know, it's hard to have your confidence behind you. And so, and, you know, I kind of struggled all through the camp, and finally, the day of the fight, I was just like, who cares? I'm just going to go down swinging. I don't really care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to do this. And I went in there feeling really relaxed and, like, happy. So, like, I'm ready to fight. So I went in there feeling a lot different. I felt really relaxed in there. And during the fight, I was, like, shocked. I was like, whoa, I'm doing this. Is this really happening? So I just tried to, you know, keep going. I was like, don't get sweat. Don't get sweat. Just try to, you know, keep your position. So I felt really relaxed and really focused in there this time. So it worked out.
What did you notice different in Cheryl this fight than when you guys fought on the amateur circuit?
You know, her striking was a lot more crisp and quicker. I think her striking, she's been working on her striking a lot. I don't know what exactly she was expecting for me to do, but that's what I noticed the most.
And then, so now after the fight's over, did you feel that you did enough to win the fight before you hear the scorecards read? Did you feel that you'd done enough to win the fight?
Yeah, I did. I did.
And then
I felt like I had won. Because I know that there was, I think she, you know, during the fight, I really thought that I was winning the stand-up. But when I was watching the video, I was like, oh. I did not win the stand-up. But I definitely took her down every round and was once we got to the ground, it was pretty dominant, I felt, on the ground. And so I felt like that probably weighed, I mean, usually that weighs pretty heavy in the judges. So I felt like I had done enough to win.
Yes. Well, I know that you, well, it was kind of funny because then Cheryl's corner is talking to Will and Dex and who was the young lady that was in your corner?
Oh, Amanda. My friend Amanda. Yes.
Yeah. And they're all like, are we going to get a rematch? We gave you a rematch. You know, it's 1-1. It's 1-1.
Yep.
And then you start hearing the scorecards, and it's like, oh, 29-28, Cheryl Chan, and then 29-28, Amy Cadwell. What's going through your mind right there when you're like, man, I really felt like I had all three? Even her corner's like sitting there telling me, we need a rematch. And now I'm like sitting here like riding on a split decision.
Yeah. You know, I can't speak for the judges. Because it is what it is, you know. That's why, probably why I should have. That's why I should have finished the fight, you know. So I can't say, you know, oh, it should have been this or it should have been that, because it's my responsibility as a fighter to go out and finish, you know. So if that's what they want is a rematch, and my manager wants to set that up, if Will Hammond wants to go ahead and do that, then that's what we'll do. But he's in charge of my matching and my he's in charge of all that. So I definitely wouldn't be opposed to fighting her again. But I leave that up to him.
See, I always hear fighters say that though. Like, I have to finish the fight, or I should have finished the fight. I don't think you should have to finish the fight. I think the judges just do their damn job and score the fight like it's supposed to be scored. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's
tread lightly on that night. I was the judge. Tread lightly, Chris.
You were the judge?
I was the judge at that fight. But now that we're a month in the bag, I had Amy Cadwell 29-28. I will say publicly, I scored the fight, Amy Cadwell. First round, if I remember right, off the top of my head, I gave it to Cheryl. I thought she did a little more damage on the feet. Second round was all Amy. The third round was a very, very close round. But Amy had top control, landed elbows and punches from the top, and that's what I thought gave her the whole fight.
Cool. Yeah, that's kind of how I figured it was scored, you know, depending on what the judges saw. But I know that the first round I tried to take her down, she reversed me and she opened me up. She cut me on the top of my head, and I was bleeding all over. So I know that weighs, like, that's in the very first round, so I know that always weighs heavy in the judges' heads, too. So, you know, I just kind of work through what I need to work on and move forward.
You know, leaving the arena that night, how good did you feel finally getting, you know, that pro win out of the way? You know, you got it. It's done. It's over with. How did you feel?
I felt amazing because my fiance fought the same night and he got a win, and so we were like on cloud nine. We were just screaming. We were so happy, jumping for joy. We both did it, so it was pretty cool.
So now, do you know what you have lined up in the future?
Well, I'm looking to fight again in September. Not sure, we don't have any a venue or an opponent locked down, but yeah, looking to fight again in September, and then after, you know, once September hits, I probably fight on a more consistent basis. I want to fight every 2 to 3 months, have something lined up, and just do it for real.
What did you think? You got cut. I'm trying to remember if it was an elbow or a head kick that cut you. I can't really remember.
It was an elbow from top. Because the very first round I got, I tried to take her down and she reversed me and got on top and started throwing elbows on top of me. And then I don't remember how I got up, but I got up.
Yeah, now you got up, and then the referee stop the fight. Were you like, oh shit, this ain't the way I'm going to go out?
Yeah, it was like already. And then the ref came in, or the doctor came and looked at my head, and I was like, because it didn't even hurt, but I saw the blood just spilling out, and I was like, great, this again. So
that's what makes your and Cheryl's fight so awesome, is it's like one of you, if not both of you, is covered in blood, and it's just like you're still like balls out, like you're just wearing the crimson mask, like throwing down, like none of the dudes did that. That night it was like boring.
I was just trying to like pretend that it wasn't there, like, okay, just, you know, that part's out of the way, just pretend, like, fight like you're not all bloody right now. Just pretend like you're annoying.
That when you finally, you bloodied Cheryl's nose, I think early in the third round, were you like, finally, good, there's some blood for you to taste too now. Enjoy it.
I don't even remember making her nose bloody. I just remember just trying to, like, stay on top and finish. Try not to get reversed and try not to get submitted. Oh, that's the big thing. And try not to get submitted because I know she's got 6 submissions from the bottom. So, you know, I want to stay on top of it. I'm like, okay, you got to be careful. So.
No, yeah. I mean, if round 3 of this series happens, which I'm firmly behind seeing a round 3 because I think with it being 1-1, we really need the rubber match. I mean, what do you think about
the rubber
a situation
match
like that, Chris?
Yeah.
The rubber match makes, I don't know, makes or breaks the tie. Actually, it breaks the tie. And I think that's just the way to go. Don't be putting me on the spot like that ever again, Lapati. I was over here relaxing, sitting back in a recliner, just listening, and then you just throw me a bone, and I wasn't ready for it. No, I love rematches and rubber matches, man. I think that promoters need to really, give those fights exposure. I like what Brawling did with their last show. They put all the trash talk and back and forth on a poster and then put that out. So, I mean, yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, some people thought it was a little trashy, but I thought it was great.
If it gets people like wanting to watch the fight, then you know that's what it is. I don't think there'll be a lot of trash talk between me and Cheryl, but I think we put on good fights, so I think people will want to watch it.
I'm positive people would want to watch a round 3 of that because the first two were amazing. I mean, they were both amazing fights.
Well,
and I can tell you that, like, when I got to message Skippy and tell him who that you won, I don't know if he had been as happy in a long time. He was so stoked for you to get that that big win. I mean, because, like, people might look at your amateur record and be like, oh, why is she turning pro? But they don't really understand, like, who you fought. Like, Emily Corso is a savage. That girl is a savage. Like, not in, like, a hateful way, people that are listening. I'm not sitting here saying she's some kind of weirdo. She's a badass.
She's a badass.
You don't ever take fight. You never take easy fights. So, I mean.
Right. And I've done a lot of growing in my amateur career. I've learned a lot. And I got to the point where I was like, why am I fighting for free? You know, I've been doing this for, you know, I've been fighting since 2007. I started doing Muay Thai, but I've been doing this since 2007. So I'm like, why am I fighting for free? I want to be getting paid to fight, you know? So
what was some of the things you used? Cause you mentioned earlier when we were chatting that coming off a couple of losses to wrap up your amateur career and then to make your pro debut, that was kind of something that you had a hard time, maybe dealing with. What were some of the things that you did to overcome that, maybe that question mark that you were putting on yourself?
Oh my gosh. I was just I wasn't afraid of the fight. I was just, you know, you get to a point where your head just starts to play games with you. Just spent a lot of time surrounding myself with positive people, and I have, you know, my fiance who's in my life now and his 3 daughters who are super positive, happy little girls who always make me feel good, and my good friends and my teammates who are a great support system, and I just went for it.
Now, and this was your second fight under Will, right? Your fight last October at Budo was your first fight with Will. This was your second.
Yeah.
How are things progressing in the 9 months that you've been with White Buffalo Warriors?
It's been great. You know, the first fight that I took when I started training with Will, I had, like, it was literally the week that I switched gyms, and that week I took a fight. And so we didn't get to work on a whole lot of new skills. We just kind of went with what we had and, you know, put together a game plan. Not saying that, oh, I would have won or, you know, this would have happened because, you know, could have, should have, would have. But we hadn't had a lot of growth together as a team yet. And so this next fight, I feel like, or this fight with Cheryl, I can feel, I felt the growth and I saw the growth. Like I felt like a different fighter in there. So that felt cool. We've been working a lot on my wrestling and top control and ground and pound, which I think can really be a strength of mine. The more that I work on it, you know, I kind of started as a striker, but I like the ground a lot more. So
I got to see you at both of the last two fights, and I noticed the growth in you between Budo 9 and then here at Cage Warrior Combat 4. And it was impressive, and I'm so happy for you to start your pro career out on such a great foot.
Thank you.
I really am looking forward to seeing what's coming down the pipe for you.
Yeah, thank you. We're planning to get another fight in September or so, and then after that, you know, I'm really hoping to look into, like, Invicta or something. I want to get...
Now, what weight class are you looking to maybe make your permanent home for your pro career? Are we going to look at maybe 125, 135? Are you going to try to make the cut to 115 maybe?
Yeah, 115, but that's kind of my project this summer is to work on getting my walk-around weight down because it turns my whole camp turns into losing weight rather than building skills or like working on my skills toe in the fight. So that's why I'm taking the summer off of fighting is so that so I can get to a weight where I'm walking around low, which I can do. It takes a lot of work, especially as a woman. It's different. And so working on getting into good shape and then taking a fight. And that's what my fiance is doing, the same thing. He's working on getting down to 135, so we're both doing it together.
Are you guys giving up all the Hawaiian food?
Oh, yeah. Well, for the most part, we are. We're on it pretty strict right now. I know we're going to Maui in July. But we have a plan too. So we're gonna stick on the ahi tuna, and we're gonna work out while we're there too. So we're gonna make sure we do it. It's important for us to do it now. You know, we're both 29, so we want to make
you
a
young
big wave.
You young kids, you young kids, man, you make me feel so old, Amy. Thank you.
Well, I mean, as a fighter. We gotta step on the gas pedal. At least that's how I feel.
Yeah. Now the night you and Dex both fought, how difficult was it? Because he fought before you did.
I know, and he made an arrangement. He said, "Please put me on the card before Amy, so I can corner her." So I was like, "Ah, well, that means what am I gonna do?" So I felt really confident in him. So I felt good watching him. So I walked out with them, and then I just kind of hung out in the back and watched. So it turned out really well because he won. He did really well. And I felt, you know, I felt energized from it, so I just felt like I'd just ride the wave. I didn't try trying to let myself get too worked up either way, you know. So.
Yeah, he finished off with a great neck crank in his fight. It was very impressive to see him get that finish, and that was a, kind of a personal fight with him and Brett.
Yeah, there was you know, you'll have to talk to him about it, but I know that there was some words back and forth with them. I know Brett got into it in his face at weigh-ins a little bit, and so it kind of it did get a little bit personal. And then Brett got into his face a little bit right after the fight too, and it seemed like, you know, after that happened, then it was all kind of settled, because he came and talked to us afterwards and was like, you know, whatever.
Well, that's good.
Cool. So, yeah.
Well, hey, before we have to wrap up, and then Carl's going to try and make me pay some bills, or I don't know who's paying bills tonight. I think Carl's paying the bills tonight. But do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors and let everybody know how they can find you on Facebook and Twitter?
Yes, yes. Well, I want to say thank you to Dex, my number one training partner, my fiancé. My training partners at White Buffalo Warriors, Will Hammond, our head coach and our manager, and Clint Radovich. Let's see. MMA Madhouse, of course, and thank you guys for having me on the show. Eric Allen at Top Rated MMA, Tussle Fight Gear, Elite BJJ in Redmond, Cascade CrossFit, Amy Holy, who is our Avacare supplier. I think. Oh, Primal Combat also, sponsor. And I don't know who else. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
Your mother.
But that's all I can. What's that?
Your mother. Your mouth guard.
Oh, my mom.
Your eyeglasses.
What's that?
Your mouth guard, your eyeglasses.
I'm sorry. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, thank you very much, of course. And my mom, Bessie Cowell, Carl Cowell. My new family, the Montenegros, Virginia and Vaughn, Francis. My best friend, Amanda Pike. She helped me prepare for the fight, and she even babysat our kids, her and Casey White. We're big helps. So, shout out to everybody. Love you.
Awesome, yeah, Amy. We really appreciate you. What are
you
doing?
That was like 20 sponsors, and she don't play around.
What?
What's up?
Wow, dude. Amy's legit, bro. She's like the dude. I'm telling you, man. If you need a badass chick to fight on a pro card in the Midwest, contact Will Hammond so he can get Amy Cadwell on the fight card.
And Will has been an awesome manager. I could fight, like, he's the best at finding fights. And I think he really has something good going on right now. So.
Hey, Invicta's awesome. In the Midwest, and we'll see her out here soon.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for having me on.
Thank you, Amy, and I'll see you maybe. Are you guys going to be at the point this weekend?
We probably 90% will be there. Are you going to be there?
Awesome. Yes, I will be there,
okay.
So make sure you find me.
All right, we will.
All right, thanks, Amy. Have a great night. Tell Dex you said hello.
We will.
Tell Amanda I said hello.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Okay. Good night.
Night.
Carl!
All on the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the Psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Hype Fight Store, Never Tap, Brawl Base, 24 in LV, and the great Aaron Hall is live.
Who?
Aaron Hall.
The Buxom? Bucks on Aaron Hall?
Okay, I'm out. You guys take it.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron Hall with Team Quest Gresham. What's going on, brother?
Oh, crap. Helps if I unmute him, I guess.
Oh, you didn't hear me at all.
Sorry.
I said some gold. I was doing radio gold there for 5 minutes, and fucking Carl didn't even have me on.
God, man. He's not very buxom, is he, Aaron?
Damn. No, he is. I'm looking up thesaurus.com. I'm looking up the opposite of buxom, and there's a picture of Carl.
Really?
No, not really. In the world I'd like to live in.
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Oh, absolutely.
What's cracking up there at Team Quest?
Oh, man, we got so many irons in the fire going on right now. One of the big ones, you're going to have her on in about a half hour. She's training right now with the team. Livia von Plettenberg's back in town. She's going to be fighting Casey Robb on the next Invicta card. We got Terrence Williams training. He's going back over to Russia. I want to say just a couple of weeks. Let's see, what's June 5th today? Somewhere around the 20th, I think he's fighting over there in Russia. Just got done with a bullyproof seminar. We did a free for the community seminar for kids on this bullying issue. You know, when I was a kid, there were bullies, right? But it was just kind of par for the course. And I don't know what's changed, but I don't know if the level of bullying has changed, the sensitivity of kids has changed. Something's changed, and it's a serious problem. One of our members knows a gal that goes to school with his kid, tried to commit suicide over getting bullied. Now, you know, if it's coming to that, we're talking about a serious problem here. So we just did a free event for the community in cooperation with the Portland Police Department. A couple of their officers were here. Matter of fact, we have a couple of Portland police that train here, and they were in attendance, and we had a couple of instructors just showing some basic techniques on how to avoid being bullied. These kids, you know, generally confident kids aren't the ones that are getting bullied, and kids that religiously practice martial arts, you know, whether it be a traditional karate, taekwondo, a mixed martial art, generally have more confidence and aren't the ones getting picked on. So that was a really fun event to see those kids. Also on the kid front, we just in April rolled out a new youth jiu-jitsu program. So it's gi jiu-jitsu for ages 4 to 11. And, you know, I was only expecting a couple of kids. I mean, we're averaging between about 12 and 15 kids every class. And I'm talking all the way from 4 years old. They have triple or quadruple zero gis. And I don't know if you guys saw any of our pictures on Facebook, but these little gis are friggin' adorable. They're just, you know, they look like little mannequins or something. Anyways, so, yeah, really digging on that program and our other classes. We got Dylan Fussell, who's leaving for our Thailand location in July. He's going to go over there and train and fight for a year, which is a really great opportunity for him. We got him doing we're doing a Muay Thai focus on our kickboxing classes with him in there teaching it. So a lot of really, really cool things. Our adult jiu-jitsu program, you know, when about a year or so ago now, we kind of had a staff meeting here. And just kind of looked at our schedule and looked at what we were offering and what classes people were attending, you know, cutting some fat here and there. And with the boom of jiu-jitsu that's happened in the last couple of years, we realized that we were deficient in that area in that we were only running two classes a week on Tuesday and Thursdays at 7. And Fabiano Scherner, who's a UFC veteran, third-degree Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, and his jiu-jitsu credits are longer than my arm, he was available to coach full-time. So we have him over here. We have first-degree black belt Luis Pedro, who's another professor, and we also have Justin Nelson, who was the first American that Fabiano ever gave a black belt to. So that's quite the accomplishment, you know. A lot of schools don't have one black belt, and we have three professors that are black belts. We beefed up our schedule. We're running jiu-jitsu every day of the week at noon and at 7 p.m. So anybody that's listening that's in the area that's into jiu-jitsu, and come on down and roll with us. We're having a great time.
Okay, so, hey, let's stick on Fabiano for a second. How close are we to you giving me my wish of Fabiano Scherner getting his hands on Lloyd Irvin?
Listen, when you talk to him about that, he literally, he's like a gorilla. He froths at the mouth. He wants that so bad. I don't have any connections over there at the Metamorphosis deal. So if anyone here that's listening does, Fabiano just, he had a couple of surgeries, a quick little something here and there, just a tune-up. He's back on the mats. He's rolling. He's ready. He's ready to go. Ideally, you know, they say the word, and you know, we'll send Fabiano out there to rape. We'll send Fabiano out there to rape him.
I get the feeling that there wouldn't even need to be a match. Like, if Fabiano saw Lloyd Irvin on the street, he would, like, go into attack mode.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a personal beef with Lloyd Irvin. Last November at the No-Gi World down in Long Beach, I was dying of thirst, and the concession stands had already closed, and the only thing that was open was the acai stand. And if you guys haven't ever had it, it's like this berry ice cream, right? And they put granola and bananas and like weed seeds and all sorts of good shit on it, right? So, but all I want, and I'd already had two of those that day, and all I wanted was a water, right? And Lloyd Irvin and two of his buddies, basically, then they were in front of me. They went down the whole goddamn menu. What's this and what's that? I'm like, hey, man, I just need a water. And he's like, hold on. I had to wait for 15 minutes for this asshole to figure out the whole goddamn menu before I could pay for an overpriced water. So that's my personal beef with him. I know, it doesn't sound like much, but it's the small things.
I'm surprised he's able to read.
Mm-hmm. I was this close, Lepaki, this close. He doesn't know how close he came.
Well,
so,
he doesn't
but
know.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
The,
you know, Fabiano really wants that. What was that?
He obviously, Lloyd didn't know that you're the Team Quest Gresham Lunchtime BJJ champion.
Yeah, the noon champion. I still hold that crown. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been attending as many classes as I should be. But, you know, I don't want to be that guy where everyone's trying to force him into retirement, right, because he's way over past his prime. You know, I want to go out on my own terms. So I may announce my retirement.
Whoa,
I'm on top.
Whoa, breaking news. Carl, hit like the bum, 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 like whatever the breaking news sound is for that one. Possible retirement. Now, let's focus on this. I love the fact you guys are working on this bully thing. I have my own theory on this bullying situation. I want to see what you think about it. Because
okay.
When I grew up, it was very similar to when you did. You met the bully at the flagpole at 3:30 or whenever school got out. You guys probably boxed, and then at the end of the day, yeah, it was, you know, you either earned the bully's respect or you had to meet him there probably the next week again until you did earn his respect.
What I've noticed
in modern society is that it seems that more people are saying, don't defend yourself, Johnny. Run and tell a teacher. Run and get a teacher. And when I think about, if you'd have gone and tattletaled on the bully when I was in elementary school or middle school, that made it 10 times worse for you. I don't see how that could change.
I agree 100%. But you have to remember that back then, now with the, hey, Johnny, go tell the teacher mentality, and then you start handing out detentions or in-school suspensions or out-of-school suspensions, and they're discouraging fighting, it never vents, right? When we got in a fist fight, problem solved, right? And if you think back in arts, but now they just don't allow fighting at all. And if you think back, I'm 35 next – go ahead. I'm sorry, what?
No, go ahead, man. Sorry, my bad.
I'm 35 next week, right? So I've been around the block. Back when I was a kid, I never wore a helmet riding my bike. I never had elbow pads. I never had knee pads. It's parents nowadays, they want to wrap their kids up in bubble tape so nothing ever happens to their precious little angels, right? I was the third boy in my family, right? My folks didn't give a shit, right? They'd seen it all. They'd done it, and they'd been there, right? You know, so I think that's kind of the root of the problem is that they've been sheltered for so long that, they're actually a bit too sensitive. They're oversensitive.
Chris?
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I was just wanting to hear what Chris had to say while he could talk here. But apparently on mute.
No. I just think it's a little different these days. You know, we used to fight and it'd be over with, and we would end up being the person's friend that we fought. And nowadays, you know, you fight and then you got to worry about someone to come into school with a gun. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different. I mean, it's different from when I went to school from when we went to school. You know what I'm saying? It's the whole mentality of kids has changed. bullying has changed a lot. I mean, we're talking kids getting jumped, and I don't know, man. When we fought, it was, hey, let's go out the Iron Bridge, let's handle this, and let's go back into town and it'd be over with. That's how we did it, and it wasn't like it is today, man. It's just, it's crazy today.
I really think that if they would stand up for themselves, there wouldn't be a need for them to feel like they had to bring a gun to school. It's when they feel like they have no other option because they don't know how to defend themselves, because they haven't been to a class at Team Quest to teach them how to nullify the situation. I mean, even if it's just you take the kid down, you hold him in guard until he's, like, so frustrated and tired that he can't do anything, or you end up actually, like, beating his ass.
I agree.
I mean, I think that a lot of it also goes to the fact where, like, in the mid-90s, because Aaron and I are the same age and graduated high school the same year, and when we were playing sports growing up, you had winners and losers. But I remember in, like, the mid-90s when I started coaching youth sports, they're like, okay, now we're not really going to keep score at the baseball game. We're just going to give everybody a participation ribbon. And then they failed to start teaching kids that there are winners and there are losers. And I think without teaching that to the young people of society, that you're totally robbing them of what they actually need to know in order to succeed in life.
Yeah, I read it somewhere. They call it the Mr. Rogers generation, where, you know, they say every kid's special and you can be whatever you want to be. And that's not true. There's dumb kids out there that are going to end up being ditch diggers, right? Everyone can't be the president of the United States. And the kids nowadays, they feel entitled, you know, things like that. And it's just not the way of the world, you know. If you think being a bully or getting bullied sucks, wait till you have a boss that you hate. Wait till you have to depend on a paycheck from a job that you hate. That sucks. That makes you want to hang yourself.
or when Matt Lindland walks by you and he hasn't showered in 5 days, huh?
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I do his his blog for him, and I have to add pictures when he does an article. I'll add pictures in it. If you start typing in Matt Lindland on Google, I don't know how far you have to get into it, but eventually the third one down will say Matt Lindland smells.
Now, is that the
right? I haven't told him that. Please don't tell him.
Oh, you know Matt's listening. He listens every Wednesday.
He's in there. He's coaching right now. He's coaching the amateur team right now, so.
Posted a video of him and Terrence doing some park training the other day.
So what kind of training?
Him and Terrence were in the park. It looked like they were doing some boxing drills.
Yeah, we actually have a couple. We have a middle school right at the end of the road that has a big field area, and then just beyond that, about a block, is a city park. So we're pretty lucky. We'll go down there on occasion and play games, ultimate frisbee, little football, whatever, you know, whatever guys are feeling that day. So it's really nice, especially when you're having weather like we are today. I mean, it's 85 in Portland. So when you're lucky enough to get days like this, it's nice to get out of the gym and get up there and do some training outside. So, plus it breaks up the monotony of just coming into a padded room and doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, is this bully class, we kind of got distracted, is this bully class something that you guys are going to be doing like maybe once a month, once every couple months, or once a quarter?
Yeah, I don't know what the I don't know what the frequency is. We've done them in the past. We did one today. Generally, they're free to the public. It's a community event. And hopefully, you know, it lights a spark in some of these kids that take an interest in it, and they come, and then they're the next generation of Team Quest fighters, you know. But at the end of the day, even if it's just we educated a dozen students to be more confident and have a couple of skills to work with if they are getting bullied. One of the things that I like to tell parents when they come in, especially parents of young women, learning the art of ground fighting can pay off dividends, you know. If an attacker were to ever get a woman on the ground, she knows not to just lay flat on her back. It's not the end of the story. Get to a hip, shrimp out. Create some space and get out of there and prevent the attack. you don't have to just lay there and let it happen, you know what I mean? So if we can prevent, I know it's cliche, but, you know, if you can prevent just one attack on a young woman, then it's all worth it. It really is. So a lot of women generally will do the stand-up portion because they don't like the grappling part. But everything we teach here at Team Quest is designed for the art, the sport of mixed martial arts, right, where there are rules. But the things that you learn, the skills and techniques that you learn here in the kickboxing class, in the jiu-jitsu class, in the submission wrestling classes, can be applied to real-world situations. So you get in a fist fight with a guy out on the street, and you have, you know, great stand-up technique. You knock him out and walk away. You know, an attacker gets you to the ground. You know, you at least are able to create enough space to get out of there, or you choke him out. You know, what kind of your dealer's choice on that one. But everything we teach, and that's why someone, a parent coming in, they ask me, you know, what's the difference between like this and Taekwondo, or this or you know, karate or something like that. And a lot of those traditional martial arts like that, not all of them, I'm just speaking in general, so all the karate nuts out there, don't go crazy on me. But everything that we teach here is applicable in the real world. They're real fighting techniques. It's not, you're not doing a kata. You're not doing, you know, I remember I took karate when I was a kid, and the instructor, Sensei Bob was his name, he told me to keep my clenched fists at my hips, right, so you can achieve maximum punching power. Well, hey, dummy, your whole fucking head's exposed if you do that, right? Right? Like one of the, other than your groin, the most sensitive spot on your body, right, all the buttons that'll make you go night-night are up on your head. How about you get your fucking hands up and protect yourself? Am I wrong?
I can't argue with you. Can't argue with you there.
So, real-world techniques, and I really, you know, if there's young ladies out there, get in and start rolling some jiu-jitsu. That's, you know, that's nice, too, because, like, you know, you train in the gi, but there's a picture somewhere floating around the Internet where Fabiano came up, and I was wearing a sweatshirt, a zip-up sweatshirt. He grabbed my lapels, and you can see my huge vein on my forehead popping out because I was about to go to sleep, right? So in the real world, you grab somebody by the jacket and you choke them out with them. How embarrassing would that be?
No, totally. And, I mean, I train at Northwest Martial Arts down in Eugene. Jenna Kelly, her husband's one of the black belts there. But she works with women and the exact same type of thing you're talking about where they work on that self-defense grappling. Because, like you said, like once you're on – like if typically a woman, no matter how efficient she is at striking, is not likely going to knock out an attacker. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from any of the ladies that train stand-up, and I'm sure there maybe are some of you that could knock guys out. But more than likely, in that type of a situation, the guy's going to plant you on the ground, and then he's trying to, you know, do whatever. But if you have the ability to defend yourself off your back, then you're already probably light years ahead of where this guy's at.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say even a one-striped white belt has the necessary tools in her arsenal to get to a hip, shrimp out, create the space, or know a basic, you know, submission to an attacker who has no experience on the ground that doesn't know what he's doing. He's just using brute force. And that's kind of the nature of jiu-jitsu. You know, flow like water with your opponent, you know, wait for him to make a mistake. Well, if you're working with, you know, if an attacker's untrained, he's going to make a ton of mistakes. He's going to leave an arm open. You're going to be able to slide a triangle on him. You're going to be able to do so. You're going to be able to sweep him and at the very least get the hell out of there.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we've kind of had serious conversation. I want to kind of have a lighter conversation with you because I know this is something that really, really kind of torqued you in the wrong way. You posted about maybe 2 weeks ago where you saw a thing where it said the van, like the best television van of all time. And I think they nominated that retarded little Scooby-Doo van.
Well, it was the winner was a shitty broke down VW bus from Lost, which is just a slap in the face. And if you notice, my Facebook profile picture is still the A-Team van. Not until atrocity has been fixed will I change it.
I mean, how do you pick a van that doesn't even operate to be the best van ever on television?
Yeah, that Mr. Chan, the gentleman that wrote that article, I have that white glove in my pocket, and I will slap you across the face and challenge you to a duel if our paths ever cross.
Dude, I'm going to make sure that happens. I might invite him out, and then I'll be like, hey, man, let me go show you this cool gym I know in Gresham. You can watch me roll jiu-jitsu.
This is my writer friend, Mr. Chan. This is Aaron Hall. It'll be like an old kung fu movie where he doesn't even see it coming. We'll be dueling before he even knows. What an asshole. Do you guys still do that asshole of the week thing?
Yes.
Are you saying that we should put Mr. Chen in the running?
Well, I mean, a broken down VW bus over the fucking A-team van?
Maybe he's one of these young kids that doesn't know. Maybe the A-team was too violent for him, Aaron. He doesn't want to promote violence. You know,
nobody ever got killed.
Of America, the pussification of America is you know, knee deep right now. And that's really the only thing I could think of. Yeah, I know nobody ever got killed because nobody could shoot straight somehow, but they never ran out of bullets.
Never. Never.
The only guy that really ever got jacked up was B.A. Baracus when they tried to put him on an airplane or a helicopter or something. They have to, like, lock him in a box, drug him, and then, like, when he wakes up, they're, like, nowhere to be found. They're like, okay, we'll just let B.A. wake up when wherever he's at, and we won't be here.
You know, I don't like to fly, fool.
Hey, what young Ammies do you guys have that fans around here can maybe keep an eye out for in the upcoming months?
Absolutely. We just had with Matt's connections in the wrestling world, we get a lot of wrestlers that come through the door. We just had a heavyweight who, just by his sheer size and wrestling talent, Rudy Shafforth is his last name. We got him training. We're getting Jacob Mitchell. Mitchell took some time off to wrestle for Clackamas. We're getting him back in here. We got Cody Isaacson's right there. I know that he had an original plan of turning pro at the beginning of 2013. That didn't happen, so he's still an amateur. We're filling up the local cards here with as many amateurs as we can. I'm trying to think. We got Livia, but she's a pro. Nice. We actually have Kyra Batara in the house tonight. She's not fighting for Team Quest, but she's in training with Olivia while she's here. So it's really nice. You know, just trying to think. You caught me off guard with that one. So
you're welcome.
And then,
you're welcome.
You know, Terrence, but he's pro. Let me go take a look in that room real quick. Let me see who I'm forgetting. Then you got Gumby. Have you guys ever talked about Michael Delgado?
I think Skippy and I have talked about him, but only briefly when you were on the show one other time.
This guy has a fighting style that will drive you nuts if you're on his team, right? He gets his ass. He fought, I think the guy's name was Reuben Heath, right? Was getting his ass kicked for 2.5 rounds, right? If it goes to the judges' scorecard, he's losing, 30-27, right? Last 30 seconds of the fight, he pulls out this miraculous triangle choke out of nowhere. And the guy, they call him Gumby because he's so flexible. And he's a silent assassin. I would say interview him, but it would literally be the worst interview in radio history. But he pulls out the wins. He pulls out the wins. So we got another guy, John Constein. He was fighting for the 170-pound belt at the FCFF in July, but the current champion decided to relinquish it. So now they're looking for a suitable replacement for Mr. Constein.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have two fan questions for Aaron Hall.
Okay.
Sport fight. What's the word, bird?
The word is Matt is currently the 2013 World Team Head Coach. And he's been doing a lot of traveling with that, going out to camps and getting them ready. They're doing their big tournament. I think it's September, October in Hungary. So he's been busy doing that. And Angie, his wife, who is the other half of Sport Fight. Actually, I'll take that back. Matt's 50%. Angie's 49%. I'm 1%. So the other 49% actually is involved with Invicta. And those shows have been keeping her very busy. So currently we don't have anything in the works, but I kind of miss the stress of putting a card together and keeping it together. So hopefully we get something on the books sooner than later.
And then my next question is there another Dirty Boxer event that people can look forward to?
No, I think we closed the door on the Dirty Boxer bar fights. They weren't profitable, and at the end of the day, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense, right? So I don't think we're going to be doing those anymore, which is unfortunate. You know, that's a whole other conversation, how the Oregon State Commission is really doing their best to choke out MMA in Oregon. So they really make it difficult.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, like you said, that's for we could sit here for 5 hours on live radio and have that conversation.
Well, yeah, did you guys hear about the new app? Lepaki, you were there for that meeting where they implemented that new fighter application that you had to put in.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing, and I heard it there, but it didn't sink in for some reason. So basically, a month ago was the first show where this was applicable, where you needed to pay this new $10 application fee, and then but the catch is that you have to have your blood work within 30 days of the license application. All right? So all my guys jumped through all the necessary hoops, and remember, they're amateurs. They're not getting paid to do this. They pay out of their pocket to get licensed, to get the blood work, to get all that stuff. And it's about $100 to do your blood work. So my fighters jumped through all the hoops to get their blood work done, get the application in, get the application fee, everything cleared. The way they have it set up is that this MMA application that you're applying for is valid for one calendar year. And that calendar year is July 1st to June 30th. So all my guys that jumped through the hoops last month have to jump through the same hoops to fight in July 13th, because that card that they just got last month expires on June 30th of this year. So basically, they got a card that was valid for 1 month. So that means that they now have to get a new fighter application, a new application fee, and new blood work.
No, because I remember asking I asked the guy point blank. We were sitting right next to each other, and I said, so you're going to make a guy get a license for 3 months? And they said, no. You can get the license, and it'll be good for – they'll grandfather in these last couple months of the year. That's what they explained to us at the meeting, and that it would carry over from 2013 to 2014. That's what they said at the meeting. Because I point-blank asked the guy. I said, you're going to make somebody get a license for 2 months? Are you going to prorate it? And he said, no. And I said, or are you going to allow it to extend through 2014 so that they can be licensed for that year? And he said, yes.
Well, we'll have to look into that. But of course, all the numbers on the cards that all my fighters have, it says June 30th, 2013 for an expiration date. So.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it sounds pretty shitty to say that. I live in Oregon, but I really have stopped even worrying about MMA in the state.
It's dead, and
I get more action up in Washington.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at it over the last year or so. A year ago, there was 4 shows a weekend in Oregon. Now there's one every couple of months.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Sad but true.
So sad.
Sounds like Olivia is just wrapping up with practice. We can give her just a couple of more minutes. She's probably cooling down and
sweet
chit-chatting.
So, hey, when can I come up and do some cross-training at Team Quest? What do I got to do to schedule some time up there?
Literally, the door is always open.
I love
literally.
It. Because, I'm on my 13th BJJ class at Northwest Martial Arts. I'm feeling a little frisky. I might want to give Fabiano maybe a warm-up for his match with Lloyd Irvin.
He would appreciate
that. I'll probably tap just as easily as Lloyd Irvin will. So it'll be really, really, role-play for him. It'll be like something like realistic practice.
I've rolled with Fabiano before, and because I'm a no-striped white belt, he takes it really easy on me, and it still sucks.
Oh, so we're on the same level, bro. I'm a no-stripe white belt.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, maybe you want to challenge for the noon title sometime.
Hey, you know, I wasn't really wanting to throw it out there, but, you know, maybe we'll have to put my box of Voodoo Donuts up against your title.
Like I said, you send me that self-addressed stamped envelope, and those donuts are in the mail.
In the mail? Come on, man. I'm just going to drive up, and we'll roll, and then I'll let Fabiano tap me out a few times. Maybe he can teach me a trick I can take back to my gym and use on my people. In order to get my first white stripe, you know, going. I'm chomping at the bit to get the stripes on my belt. Today I was
we call that dojo storming. We call that dojo storming. You go to other dojos and then just you wreck shop and then leave.
Yeah, I think I'm at that point, you know. 13 classes in, no stripes on my white belt. I'm pretty sure I'm ready for that.
Yeah, matter of fact, actually, you know, I can't believe I spaced it, but we're actually doing our belt testing this Saturday. So a lot of our guys are going to be upgrading to new belts. It sounds like Mr. Linlin's going to finally get his brown belt, and he's pretty pleased with that.
Wow, that's awesome. See, and you pick a day where you knew I would be up in Seattle at a fight card so that I couldn't dojo storm Team Quest on that day.
You know, if we got a hold of Carl and he gave us your schedule and we scheduled it that way.
Carl, we'll have a talk later. Carl,
I assume that it's Carl doing the sound effects. I truly appreciate the A-Team theme in the background. That was nice.
Hey, you know, Aaron, we love it when you come on the show. I wish you would come on more often. Do you want to tell everybody how they can track down Team Quest?
Oh, absolutely. Our website is tqmma.com, and we're actually doing a 30-day free trial right now. That gives you access to our beginner MMA classes on Tuesday, Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Basically, what it is, it's a trial class. Get you in here, kind of teach you some of the fundamentals in terms of the numbering system for punches and kicks, some basic grappling techniques. That way, when you roll in, if you wanted to sign up for a membership, and you roll into our regular scheduled kickboxing, submission wrestling, jiu-jitsu classes, you're not completely over your head, and you're not slowing down the class at all. You know, when the instructor says a 2-5-2-10, you don't have to say, excuse me, what's a 2-5-2-10? So it's a really good deal, and it's 30 days for free. That's tqmma.com. We're also on Facebook at Team Quest Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. Also, Fabiano and Pedro's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Tournament, Northwest Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, nwbjj.com. They also have a Facebook. And they're actually doing an event August 10th, the same place we had the tournament last time, the Mountain View High School, but it's going to be all super fights. So the best brown and black belts from around the Northwest, Canada, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, there's going to be a bunch of super fights. Tickets, they haven't gone on sale yet, but some early numbers I'm hearing are about $20-25 to come watch the highest level BJJ practitioners in the Northwest go at it. So that ought to be a lot of fun.
That sounds like something where I'm going to have to come and watch with my notepad and pay close attention.
Yeah, I can probably even get you a press pass.
Oh, you know, see, buddy, this is why, you know, I love you so much. This
I
is
said
why
Mike.
You are the buxom leader of Team Quest MMA. Regardless of Matt or Angie Linlin, I give you full credit for leading Team Quest into the 21st century.
Well, I thank you for that. That it felt heartfelt. I don't think that it was, but it felt that way, and that's all that matters. Well, then I
are
just
you
going
to hand us off to T-Rex? Are you going to feed
yeah,
T-Rex?
Yeah, she just went into the locker room to get changed. I just got the big brush off from our Muay Thai instructor, Dylan Fussell.
Oh,
and
that's
big
time?
Yeah, he went up for the high five and then pulled it and did that hair sweep and made me look like a real asshole.
You know, and see, just the noon BJJ champ is not getting any love.
That's right. And I'm up by the BJJ class right now. It smells like pine cones up there for some reason.
Yeah, go figure. That's how we like it. Now, do you guys have a smoking area there in the DJJ room, or is it just like...
No, that's expressly forbidden. But we do have a hookah lounge right off the main entrance.
Let me ask you this. How many of your guys' heavyweights fight in rash guards, Aaron?
None, because they're not homos.
Oh!
Hey, Livy, you about ready for that interview?
No, she can be quick.
Maybe you could do the interview from the shower.
Perfect. Let's do that.
We need to stream that on the internet. We'll spike the views. She's from Europe. She'll understand.
Yeah.
Which way are we going? I mean, hey, Aaron, if she wants to shower, we can be quick about it. We got time.
I'm
on the phone already.
Oh, well, welcome, all the listeners. We've got Livia von Plettenberg.
Wait a second.
Don't fall. Because we have 2 seconds.
Yep, okay. Okay. Aaron just wanted me to go to the other room. I'm sorry. Wait a second. I'm going to somewhere.
Aaron didn't want to share a room with you, huh? Aaron didn't want to share a room with you. He can be rude like that, Livia. We apologize on behalf of Aaron Hall.
Okay. Now.
Okay, so for all the listeners out there, this is Livia T-Rex von Plettenberg. She's been back in Oregon for probably right about 24 hours. She wasn't off the plane for maybe more than an hour, and Team Quest had her on a bicycle last night on the Airdyne.
Yes.
How has everything been going in your camp gearing up for Invicta 6?
It's been going great so far. I focused a lot on weight cuts back in Austria since I moved down a weight class. That went really well. I improved my conditioning a lot and got to improve some technique too. So, and now I'm here at Team Quest. Working a lot on my wrestling and my ground game, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, your last fight at Invicta was a phenomenal fight. You and Joanna Calderwood went crazy for 15 minutes. You did, unfortunately, come out on the wrong end of the decision, but how much fun was that, considering you took the fight on very short notice?
It was really great for me to fight again because I haven't fought in 7 months back then, and I'm used to fighting at least once a month, and I was really happy to be back in the cage and to fight again. I noticed during the fight that this wasn't going to be my decision because Joanne was really, really hard to fight and she was really tough. And but I just loved every second of it, even though people said that I should have quit after the first round. I enjoyed it all the time.
They obviously don't understand what you all put into a fight and how quitting is not a possibility or an option.
Yeah, I don't think that they realize that girls wanna have the same opportunities as guys do, and I think that especially some guys still have the feeling that they need to protect us and need to be a knight in shining armor and save us from whatever happens in a fight. But I never felt like I was in a dangerous situation in that fight, at least not that I could have ended up harmed, physically harmed. So I just had a little nosebleed, and I never even thought about quitting. It never crossed my mind, and I wasn't close to a knockout or something like that. I was aware of what was going on. So quitting was just not an option, but I think
it will take some time that guys realize that girls are fighters too.
Was her
I feel like you know, the women they fight harder than some of the guys here. Do you feel that way?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said I feel like the guys, you know, or the girls, they actually fight harder than the guys do. You know, I enjoy, that's the reason why I enjoy going to Invicta. It's just so exciting. They seem to want to put on the show more than anything.
Well, I think that because we didn't get so much attention in the last years, and it's something really new, and we often have to train with guys and show that we really belong here. I think that's why we fight so much harder or dare to do things like in flying armbar in a fight, just because we wanna show the people that we're interesting and here to stay. So I think so too.
Lydia, was Joanne's length maybe something that was a little frustrating for you in that fight, and her ability to use that length really well?
It was really frustrating, and I'm always the lucky one to get the tallest fighters. I thought that it wouldn't matter that much in MMA as it used to matter in Thai boxing to me. That was actually the reason why I got into MMA. It was frustrating, and Joanne really knew how to use her length, and that was one of the reasons why I decided to cut down, because I'm actually tired of being way too small.
Are you going to 105 now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Now, when you're in Austria, you train at Team Quest there in Austria. Where else do you train at, or where did you train prior to being at Team Quest Austria?
There's no Team Quest Austria.
Aaron Hall, I'm going to kick your ass next time I see you.
I said Thailand. We have a Team Quest Thailand.
Oh, man, I thought you told me she was from Team Quest Austria, you goofball.
I am from Austria, and I'm training for Team Quest, so it's okay.
check the tape. I never said Team Quest Austria.
Maybe Skippy told me that.
You don't have to be an asshole all the time.
That's my shtick, bro. That's my shtick.
So, I'm training at Box Team Vienna right now when I'm in Austria.
Hey, Livia, tell them about the cut, you know, because you started working with a private trainer over there. Tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, how it went wrong the first time?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I started to cut weight in February, and I started to work with a personal trainer, and he wrote me a nutrition plan, and we did some strength and conditioning twice a week, and the thing is, I lost 9% body fat in 5 weeks, which was awesome, but I gained so much muscle that I ended up at 138, so I had to cut back down from there, which wasn't that cool, but then when I quit working with him, I was able to cut back down again.
Did he have you on, like, a special diet, like a horse meat or something?
He had me on basically high protein, low carb, medium fat. And I was eating 1,500 calories a day. And he couldn't explain why I gained so much muscle, but I did. So he was confused by my body. And
most men are.
Yeah, I know. It's stunning, isn't it?
Beautiful.
I know.
Hey. Amazing. Hey, so now I have a real question for you, because I love your nickname, but I want to know, what's the basis for the T-Rex nickname?
My ex-boyfriend gave this one to me, actually. And he was a jiu-jitsu player, and he said that my arms are so short that no one ever catches me in an armbar, because my upper arms are really, really short. They're basically the length of my own hand. But I found out last time I fought for Invicta, they measured my reach, and I found out that it's not that bad at all, but that's probably because of my broad shoulders. But yeah, the nickname T-Rex comes from my short arms.
Maybe you should use those short arms to choke out your ex-boyfriend.
it could have been worse. I could have gotten a worse nickname.
So now, what would that nickname translate to in Austrian?
T-Rex?
Is it the same as T-Rex? Oh,
it's man. T-Rex,
I was
yes.
I was hoping it would have, like, a cool nickname for, like, in Austrian. That would have been awesome.
No, it's T-Rex. Sorry.
So now, how hard is the transition? You live regularly in Vienna. Is it very similar climates to Portland, and is that transition very easy for you to make when you come over here to finish up your camp?
Yeah, the climate is pretty much the same. Usually it rains less in Vienna, but right now it's the other way around. Portland is really sunny right now, and Vienna, it's raining like hell there. So I was really happy to get here out into the sun. but the only thing that's a little bit hard the first couple of days I get here is the time difference. It's minus 9 hours here. So I'm always a little jet lagged, but the climate is pretty much the same, and I don't have any problems to train here, work here. So I just need a couple of days to get used to the time difference, and then it's good.
Now, is that part of the reasoning why you hopped off the plane and right onto the Aerodyne last night, was to force yourself to start that acclimation? Or was that Matt's way of saying, hey, welcome back, Livia. Have fun.
Well, they didn't force me to train, but I was feeling really good when I got off the plane yesterday, and I had to go to the gym anyway because Jessica, she's the girl I'm staying with right now, was still at work, so I had to wait for her to pick me up, and so I decided to go to Team Quest, and when I got here, I felt really good, and I thought, oh, why not train right away? And it wasn't only the Aerodyne. I did some pad work after that, and some jiu-jitsu too. So, but I was done after that. I fell right into bed.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you got your start in Thai boxing, and then due to the kind of the height difference, you kind of stumbled into MMA. How do you feel having that Thai boxing background? I think it's a great striking background to have as you transition into MMA. And now you're there learning the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. What things do you miss about the straight Thai boxing?
Actually, nothing. I always loved the elbows and knees, and I can use them in MMA as well. And I always loved being in the clinch, so wrestling is actually a situation I feel very comfortable in, unless it's with Joanne, that wasn't really comfortable, but I don't really miss anything. I like the smaller gloves. I couldn't think of anything. I would still take a Thai boxing fight if someone offered me one. And it's really nice that my Thai boxing record doesn't really matter anymore, so I can just take any fight someone offers me. And I will definitely, when I get back to Thailand at some point, I will definitely fight there again. So, but in looking at missing something, there's nothing, I think. I can do whatever I did in Thai boxing, I can do in MMA, so...
That's great. I just know that sometimes I talk to guys and they're like, oh, you know, sometimes I like not having to worry about the takedown, or and I can just sit there and throw punches and kicks and not have to worry about, you know, defending that takedown all the time. So.
Oh, no. I like that situation, too. I like, like I said, I like being in the clinch and I like the wrestling part of it, and I also like... The free takedowns where you shoot from the outside. So I'm good with that. I don't miss it.
That's awesome. Now, what kind of things, you know, you'll have a full camp this time for Invicta. What kind of things can the fans look forward to seeing from you in this performance?
Well, I think it's completely different. First of all, my mind game is, or my mindset, let's put it this way, is completely different from last time, because I was preparing for that fight a long time and I'm physically really fit, which is really important for me to have the mind right mindset. And I get to work on specific stuff for Cassie. I get to watch my nutrition, which I didn't last time. So I think it's a completely different situation, and I feel really, really confident for this fight, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm just expecting it. Last time when I stepped into the cage, the first thing that crossed my mind was, wow, I'm fighting right now. That is weird. And now I'm really expecting it, and I'm really hungry for that fight. So I'm counting the days.
Well, I know that you're at a phenomenal facility, and there are some killers up there that will have you primed and ready to perform at your best. Come Invicta 6.
Mm-hmm.
Before we have to wrap this up, do you want to give a shout out to all your sponsors and everything real quick?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to Boxhouse. Those are my new sponsors in Germany. I want to give a shout out to my brother and my mother, who are so supportive and not only support me mentally but financially at the moment, and who are always there for me and who are so proud of me. And I want to say thank you to the guys from Box Team Vienna and, of course, Team Quest for having me and showing me so many things so I could improve and perform my best.
That's awesome. We really appreciate you taking the time out. I know you just had a long day of training and you're ready to go hop in the shower. And
thank
get some
you for having
before
me.
You have another day. Oh, hey, mm-hmm. Anytime. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll have you on again in the future after your next fight and before your third appearance at Invicta.
Perfect. I'm very looking forward to this.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Lydia. I hope you have a wonderful night and a most excellent training
thank
camp.
You.
Thank you, Mr. Aaron Hall, for lining that up for us, man. We really appreciate all the love that you do show us here.
Hey, no worries, guys.
You
guys treat us well, and we'll continue to do the same thing. Where was Skippy tonight? I didn't hear. What's he? Is he in jail?
He toe-tagged somebody. He toe-tagged somebody this weekend.
It happened.
He's on a vision quest on Smith Rock somewhere right now.
All right, fair enough. You know, it's Nothing surprised me with that guy, so.
Am I done now?
You're done now. You can hang up, dear.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dude, what a ball of fun. I bet she is in the gym there. Probably helps bring up all your guys' attitudes, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a, you know, I hate to say it, but such a rare thing to have, you know, a fighter that isn't ego-driven or, you know, mad at the world for whatever reason. She really does bring a good energy. And it translates onto the mat, you know, because here we want our fighters to be doing the classes that we offer everybody as well as the team practices. So, which really is why our students, our main bread and butter students, the guys that have no aspirations to fight ever, they just come in here because they want to learn something cool. To be able to roll on the same mats as these guys and girls is really cool for them. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're getting a high-quality education because of it.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that I look forward to after I get out of this beginner's class at Northwest is getting to roll with some of these guys like a Brett Primus or Seth. Can't think of Seth's last name, and he's my damn main coach right now. You know, just to really start learning the nuts and bolts of the game.
Yeah, you know, I've been working with Fabiano and Pedro, actually getting the official curriculum down on paper, the requirements to earn your next belt and things like that. So I kind of see the progression, on paper at least, of what you need to know. And at the end of the day, you're learning most everything when you're a white and a blue belt. When you're a purple belt, you're starting to perfect it. By the time you're a brown belt, you're getting rid of the shit that you don't need. And by the time you're a black belt, it's just about teaching other people. So really, you know, the guys and girls at the lower belt rank, soak it in because that's where you're learning, you know. There's no secret. They're not teaching you secret stuff up in the purple belt and the brown belt area. It's just the guys that have been doing it for so damn long is why they're so good at it. You know, I really think that picture's funny. Not sure if he's letting me pass his guard or not sure if I'm passing his guard or he's setting me up, which is absolutely true because a brown belt or a black belt, you know, you're just like, sweet, I just passed the guard of a brown belt. Oh, I'm sleepy because now he just set you up for a submission, so.
Dude, that's so crazy. Well, hey, we're about to have to pay bills, and then we're going to wrap it up. Hey, you owe me an appearance on the Rogue Show one Friday night. I know that you are a man with a very active nightlife, and I'm asking a lot for you to give up a Friday night to come hang out with us, but I would really like you to join us one night. We can have some really in-depth conversations.
Snuggling with a chihuahua isn't exactly an exciting nightlife.
If
you ever see my dog, she's ugly as shit. She's missing an eye. She's blind in the other one. She's got itchy skin, so we have on medicine that makes her fat. But you know what? I love her. All right?
Hey, I was.
And that's my cross to bear.
I was trying to make you seem like a busy guy, doing you a favor there. And
no.
You ruined it.
I'm in a sexless marriage, and I snuggle with a chihuahua.
But, hey, you're buxom, baby. You're buxom.
But I am buxom. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. Tell Skippy I said hello. And you just let me know the time and the day, and I'll be on whatever show you want me to be.
Awesome, man. Aaron, I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Peace. Chris, hold on, Carl, before you do anything, Chris, you reminded me tonight of myself on my very first MMA Madhouse show.
Oh,
I said,
dude,
like 12 words the whole time. You said about 12 words tonight. So next time you're on, I fully expect full participation.
I was participating. I was just a little quiet tonight.
I wonder what Carl thought about me after my first full show on MMA Madhouse. He was probably like, this guy didn't say shit tonight. What the fuck did I just get involved in here? little did he know.
I'm usually buzzing off the gums, but I mean, I was just kind of quiet tonight, you know. That's like, it kind of sucks. Like, I mean, it's kind of cool, but then it kind of sucks when you don't know all the fighters. Like, I know who Livia was, obviously, but I mean, I know who Aaron is too, but I didn't know Amy Cadwell very, very well. I mean, it was nice to now become a fan. So, dude, I just sit back and listen, man. You know.
Hey, we hear you, brother. Well, man, I really appreciate you hopping on the train tonight and covering for our brother in arms while he's out on his vision quest on Smith Rock. Hopefully he comes back and has a really bright vision for MMA Madhouse that him and Carl can discuss.
Ooh.
On their Blackberry apples or whatever the hell they've got. What is that thing?
Playbook, man.
Playbook, yeah, the Blackberry playbook. You know this, Chris, is that Skippy and Carl have these Blackberry playbooks so that they can talk to each other and there's no way for us to, like, get in on the conversation.
That's what I taped the Amanda Bell Charmaine tweet fight on, or my buddy taped it on, actually.
Yeah, that was a great video. Great video.
Recorded it on. Yeah, it was pretty good.
How did
it
feel being back in the saddle? How did it feel being back in the saddle, Carl?
Oh, man, it's been too long, I'll tell you that much. Looking forward to the next one, whenever the hell that may be. Battle for the Border 3 sounds like it's going to be in October, so I'll be heading to that one. But
no, but you'll be in Oregon then. You'll be in Oregon in October, bro.
Oh, nope, not then. I'll be able to hit both, I think.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah,
we can't get you down here quick enough.
You scared me for a second there, actually. Anyways, we got to get out of here.
Okay, go catch some fish on Kootenai Lake for me.
Kootenai Lake, a 25-pound rainbow.
Kootenai Lake. Yeah. Cooter Lake.
30-pound rainbow trout. Just waiting for you.
Yes. Bring some down, brother.
I can't fish.
I'll teach you, Carl, when you come down to Bend.
But I can give our sponsors a shout-out and end the show. How's that?
Hey.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
I really appreciate it, bro.
No problem, man. No problem, guys. Anytime. Maybe I'll say more next time.
Yeah, you will. You will. You will say more next time. I'll talk to you here in a bit, brother.
All right, Kobe.
All right.
Thanks,
Eagle.
Buddy. Eagle.
Hey, anytime.
Shout out to our sponsors, Quench Custom Mouth Guards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, Central Oregon Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Hype Fight Store, Never Tap, Brawl Base, and 24 in LV.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. We'll be right back.
people. Time to disperse. Party's over.